702.
Nola knows.
Happy Human Rights Day, Wendy Nola, and happy Thursday. How are you?
Oh, back at you, Willa Bechilek. I'm just fine. Good to be with you again.
Yes, of it course. Is a working day for us. We mm-hmm. holiday on other days. So,
which ones? Tell me.
I actually don't know because all of them are working days. But yes, it is all exactly. for a good cause. So
exactly.
The big story that was circulating, and it's so interesting because we have been chatting as a team to say, I realized flying as often as I do that most of the time I don't actually know all the rules. Now that I think about it, not just in a plane, but even in an airport, we just know don't joke about bombs or having like guns and things yes. like that.
Yeah, but there are a lot of things I think that we perhaps aren't aware of that could get us into trouble in airport and on planes. And I've been doing this a long time, so a couple of these cases have come my way and I've investigated. And one was a long time ago. I think it was 2007, that long ago, but it was two guys that didn't actually know each other, happened to be seated in the same area on a Mango plane. That's how long ago it was. They were still Mango. And they both got, you know, marched off the plane, and off the plane went with their luggage on it and not them. And it was also, it was, you know, it was, they were said to be, have been disruptive or abusive. And so I thought when this case.
As in they were together or towards one another?
No. We'll go into it a bit later, but yes. It was the most bizarre case. And I went into full on sleuth mode. I got witnesses from that the entire area, even had an advocate write to me afterwards and say, that was some investigation you did there. Well done. I was really proud of myself, but we'll talk about that in a bit. I just thought, you know, like last year, it seems to be happening a lot. You know, we in traditional media, you know, respond in our way to stuff that is playing out in social media. We did it with Old Mutual last week. And as in that case, today we're not going to be discussing the merits of what happened. We're going to be just talking about in general, you know, what kinds of things can lead to, rightly or wrongly, I have to say that, to drama for the passenger that's being told to get off the plane and for everybody else because there's delayed flight and everything else. So, you know, we live in a time when it's super easy for us to capture snippets of our lived experiences, good and bad. We mostly do it with our smartphones, and in some cases it's the dash cams in our cars, which provide us with not just memories, but we're talking today evidence, right? Evidence of what was going down, which is crucial if you have a dispute of some kind. And you'll have heard me many times on the show and others encouraging people to use this technology that we've paid for, and we've paid a lot for it in our, you know, in our smartphones that we always have with us, mostly charged and ready to roll and work for us. That's what I've said, you know, capture these things. But often what happens is the thing that kicks off the drama isn't captured on camera because, you know, we don't, it's only when we're in the middle of the drama that a lot of us will think, okay, maybe
yes,
I should be filming
my phone on, yes.
Yeah, so the instigator, you know, what happened is seldom captured, which is a pity. And that was the case on this SEME flight departing from Durban's King Shaka Airport last Sunday. So according to SEME, MTV presenter Shamiso boarded late and then, in their words, became unruly and abusive, refusing to follow the lawful instructions of the cabin crew member. When the cabin crew member determined that she was unable to reason with the passenger, she informed the captain. Shamiso's video obviously began, you know, when I think the police were already there and she was being ordered off the plane. So she says the cabin attendant took offense to her swearing on to a friend or using some swear words to a friend on the phone. It wasn't, you know, directed at anyone on the flight. She's had witnesses backing her up, but there's no actual hard evidence, video evidence of, as I say, what kicked this whole thing off. So SEME, which is not prone to dropping statements on Twitter, on X, gave its version of events, as I've said, and said that the flight was delayed by a further 90 minutes as a result of the incident. So we have two very widely varying versions of what happened. Mm. And it's a pity that Seme gave no detail on exactly what they mean by unruly and abusive behavior, because, I mean, what's unruly and abusive to me is not to you. And, you know, it would have given the rest of us some really good insight into what is considered by the, you know what I mean? I think more information here was necessary for everybody's benefit, because, you know, it's easy to say unruly. This, what does it actually mean? What did she actually do?
And I have to say,
incident.
Yes, without obviously us going delving too deeply into the merits of a situation we're not fully privy to. But one thing that South Africans are good at is taking their phones out and recording. If a well-known face in the form of Shamiso was being unruly and abusive on a flight, there would obviously be footage of that happening. Somebody would have taken their phone out. Mm. And that's what I thought. And the second thing being, you know, obviously she went live on her Instagram, is that the people around her would have been reprimanding her, because we know how we are as South Africans. We like to get ourselves involved. And that's what I thought to myself. I thought, I'm not sure if the statement is disingenuous, because we know for a fact somebody, when we're sitting on a plane waiting, 90% of people are on their phone saying, I'm boarding, I'm taking off, their recording.
Yes, exactly.
If a celebrity was being unruly and abusive, why is there not a single eyewitness account reiterating that, or even a video or anything? That was my only question, Marcus, to say, I don't know. Even if I saw a celebrity, I would have been like, well, actually, why is nobody saying that? Why was nobody... I'm saying, oh my gosh, I was on this flight in Shamiso, because everybody talks about everything. Why are you guys the only ones that are saying that she's being abusive and unruly? That was my question mark in this whole situation.
Well, here's another scenario, that case I was talking about, and nobody was whipping out cell phones then. So in 2007, I don't think we were quite there, certainly not with videos.
Yes.
But so this case, I just thought, is another example. And it ties in a lot with this one. So this was back in August 2007, Mango Budget Airline, with a Joburg to Durban flight. One cabin attendant saw to it that two men were escorted from the plane, and they both spent a very uncomfortable night at Outambo Airport before flying back the next morning. And the same cabin attendant was on the flight. We'll get there. So it began with a Durban software developer called Sean. As he walked to his seat, row 19, picture the scene, 19D, his seat on the aisle. He said crapairline.com loudly as he sat down.
Yes.
Okay. So he told me later that the remark was prompted by the fact that the Mango flight he'd taken two nights earlier from Durban, his home to Joburg, had been delayed and items were stolen from his luggage. And the flight that he had just boarded and was saying crapairline.com about was also delayed, so he was fed up, to use a nice word. And he says the cabin attendant was furious, she took huge exception. She accused me of being abusive and told me that she was going to get me thrown off the plane.
Wow.
She then shoved my elbow on the armrest, I shoved back, and then she barged her way up the aisle. I think she was going to find the cabin controller, yes. Right? So as she's barging, the man who had a boarding pass for seat 18C, which is also on the aisle but directly diagonal from Sean, his name was Imran, and he was standing in the aisle letting a couple take the window and middle seats next to his, as we do, right? And suddenly he said from behind, someone grabbed my right shoulder and pushed me hard. It was the stewardess saying something like, move, I need to get past.
Yes.
Very rude and aggressive. I said, hold on, I'm just waiting for these people to take their seats. And then she threatened to get me thrown off the plane. Can you believe it? So according to both men who, as I said, had not met before this incident and who told me their stories separately afterwards, the cabin attendant soon returned from the front of the plane with the cabin controller. And that cabin controller was male, and he said he would not tolerate anyone swearing at his crew. So this man, remember, had said crapairline.com. Is that swearing at the crew? I'm not sure. At which point, Sean admitted that he had used the word crap and apologized. Imran said very calmly that he tried to tell the cabin controller what had really happened, but he was in no mood to listen. Shortly afterwards, both men were asked to surrender their boarding passes, and two police constables entered the plane and asked them to accompany them off the plane. I was led out of there like a common criminal. It was totally humiliating, Sean said. The aircraft took off with their luggage, and so they spent the night, as I said, in the terminal.
That is Sean so upsetting.
It is. Well, you can imagine, a lot of years had passed, but this was one of these stories that I really, really felt strongly about. And I said, I really did my homework. I spoke to about, gosh, the two of men and about six, at least six or seven witnesses that were in there immediately, either right next to them or right in front of them, that witnessed the whole thing. So the one guy, Sean, tried to sleep on Mango Airlines countertop. Imagine that.
God.
And Imran was just wandering aimlessly around the airport all night. No charges were pressed in the end. Next morning, the early flight on Mango back to Durban, they were seated next to each other. And say the same cabin crew member was on that flight as well. They just they all blanked each other. They made affidavits, complained directly to Mango, but got no response. And the ultimate, when they collected their luggage, both found that their bags had been rifled, although nothing was missing. So that happened to Sean on the way up and on the way back. What nobody on the plane knew at the time, and I only discovered when I was interviewing him, is that Imran was a police inspector with the detective branch at SAPS Chatsworth in Durban.
Oh, my gosh.
And talk about not throwing that around. He said, no, I don't think it would have made a difference. People had made their minds up, and I didn't want people to regard me as an arrogant policeman. So I had such a lot of respect for him around that.
I mean, at the one time you can actually start telling people,
throw it around.
Actually, do you know who I am? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And what you're doing is out of, you know, is a complete overreaction, whatever, whatever. So Imran, I asked them, in fairness, like, were you guys a bit, you've been pissing it up. Imran is totally teetotal, never touched alcohol. Sean said he had three beers in an airport pub during that long wait. Remember, it was delayed to board the plane, but he strongly denied being out of control or disorderly. And all the witnesses said, all he said was, crapairline.com, and sat down. And that cabin attendant then came over and took issue with him. And that's where it began.
And where are Mango Airlines now? Just saying.
Well, exactly. Well, there's a sort of a bit to get them back in the air, but that's nothing to do with this show. So I went into sleuth mode and I tracked down a lot. Some of the witnesses felt so strongly that they contacted me. Can you believe
Didn't
even know I was doing a story?
Yes.
Yeah. And then the rest I tracked down because they'd taken each other's contact details, you know, so apparently these two cabin attendants both took their name badges off so that their names couldn't be recorded by the passengers. And all of them told me variations of, you know, Imran was just standing up to let us get to our seats. That was the couple that he was letting in that were at the window and middle seat. When the woman tried to push past him, she was really rough and abrasive. So Imran said, hang on a minute, at which she took offense and stormed up the aisle. But they all said the behavior was outrageous, that did nothing wrong. At no point did the controller ask for the passenger side of the story or attempt to resolve the situation. He just sided with the cabin attendant. And obviously the captain gets to make the ultimate decision to get someone evicted from a plane. But they're sitting cocooned, you know, from all the drama up on the flight deck. So they rely on their cabin attendants and the controller to give them their version. And that's what they act on. I asked Meg obviously about this, what happened. They said there was, you know, disruptive behavior. And again, like in the other case, I said, well, what disruptive behavior? And no answer. What I wrote at the time was, from the accounts of the evicted passengers and the four witnesses, in the immediate area, it would appear that Mango's guests were swiftly reclassified as disruptive persons through a perceived slight to the cabin attendant and evicted solely on her version of events. If this is true, the crew members in question have much to gain from a customer service refresher course. So there are various levels of bad behavior on a plane, right? Things that could possibly get you ejected and with various consequences after that.
And so those videos are all, those videos are all over. You literally can find tons of videos of people being thrown out of planes because they're drinking, they're getting unruly. I had a friend who was on a flight, and this was over 10 years ago, where somebody desperately wanted a cigarette that they tried to open the door. Or people you know, it was still that transition from no smoking. So we do know that they are unruly passengers, but it doesn't get spoken enough about of the air hostesses or air hosts that are taking advantage, because, you know, you disagreeing with something I have to say is not unruly or abusive. Yes.
Well, this is the thing. So there are many, instances of unruly behavior or disruptive behavior where we really do want the crew on board for the safety and comfort, for want of a better word, of all of us. You really want them to take control, you know. I'll get to a few just now, but they're certainly trying to open the window. I mean, that's like, you know, code red. That has to be stopped. Trying to storm into the cockpit.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things where you really they're forced by aviation regulations to take strong action. So level one is disruptive behavior, and that's very wide, right? That's apparently saying crap airline.com is disruptive behavior. The physical abuse, obviously displaying a weapon, and attempting to enter the cockpit. So those will all, and it will be level four, because that obviously signifies like it's danger if you're just drunk and disorderly, or worst case, it's a hijacking situation. But I'm really, what we're talking about today is level one. It's that disruptive behavior. And it includes what a drunk passenger did on another airline flight from PE to Joburg back 10 years ago now. He pulled down his pants and weed in full view of the other passengers in the plane's galley. The plane was taking off and he wanted to go, and he wouldn't take no for an answer, because you know you're supposed to, regulation-wise.
Yes, you're supposed to be buckled up, yes.
Buckled up for obvious reasons. And so he just thought, okay, I'm just going to wee right here. He was made to clean up his mess, which I was very happy to read. And he was detained when the flight landed. Yeah. I love it. He was inebriated. And often these incidents are as a result of that. So it's really not a good idea to get tanked up before you get on a flight, because what alcohol does is, you lose impulse. Your impulse control goes, and your sense of reasonableness goes. And so you might be prone to do something that you wouldn't otherwise do.
Can I ask a question on that one, though? So I saw a comment, because both you and I were tagged on the Sim Air situation. And there was a comment that was asking the question towards Sim Air in response to their statement. And the question was, listen, we have questions around you guys as an airline where you haven't responded regarding refunds to certain passengers, but also some of the flights. I don't know that they don't have toilets at all, or they don't have working toilets, where they were mentioning a woman who was so pressed, but there was nowhere for her to go. She had to use her empty coffee cup to relieve herself in one of their flights. I don't know if that is accurate or if you've heard anything about that.
No, well, as it happens, just weird coincidence. I write a column for the Sunday Times, the Business Times section, and last week, just last Sunday, in fact, the very day that this incident happened, the semi incident, my column was about just that somebody had complained. They were flying in December from Joburg to Maun, Botswana, and he witnessed a man having to relieve himself into bottle, because there was some of these small planes, the Beechcraft plane, and there's a toilet up front, one toilet. It's a small plane, 19 seater, I think, something like that. And the toilet was taped up. And he said that nobody was warned that there was no toilet on board. And, you know, what were you supposed to do? So I asked the question. I found some other complaints online. And the airline CEO just said, we don't operate it. People must go before or after.
But then tell people. I would have been livid.
What if the plane is delayed? It's all well and good saying this flight's only an hour, or it's only an hour and 15 minutes. But that's the wheels off the ground time. It's from when you board to when you finally get off can be a awful lot longer than that. What about kids? What about people with urinary issues? What about like people who we get urgent needs every now and then, right? And if it happens to you on a plane, what do you do? I even said, funnily enough, well, because I don't know about you, not to be too crude, but I would have a bit of trouble using a bottle with any accuracy. So I said, well, do women get, what must women do? Are they yes. given like cups or something? And the answer was, we don't differentiate on a flight
wow.
on the basis of gender. So
I mean, how convenient to suddenly be woke, you know, about we don't differentiate between gender, but you're really not that concerned.
Yeah. So I just, yeah, and I said, well, why don't you, you've got the toilet there, why don't you just make it a working toilet? And I was told, well, they're quite smelly, the chemicals in there, and it can, it's a small plane and it can be unpleasant. So they just, it's a no toilet flight, which, as you say, the big issue is, do you tell people? He said, yes, we tell it. It's on the website. We tell it check-in. We tell it boarding. We, there's like several places where passengers are told. My complainants, it never happened. And several people on Twitter, it was, as you might have read, were saying, there is no warning. I wasn't warned. People weren't told. So it's just a horrible thing. I mean, the lack of dignity involved, if you just happen to get caught short, is just imagine on a tiny plane, there's no way of getting privacy. There's no way.
So can I tell you?
I just think it's awful for the person.
Yes. Yeah. No, no, of course it's terrible because as a woman, you need to basically expose yourself unless you're absolutely tiny, have a massive gap between your thighs and can just squeeze something there to relieve yourself. But it's absolutely humiliating. But I'm going to tell you a secret because it's just you and I, Wendy. Okay. The secret is.
It's a public holiday. No one's
listening. Yes. I know somebody who flies that airline, as in like they actually fly that airline.
Uh-huh.
And I had never heard of them when I found out who they fly for. And I said, oh no, I must come and fly your guys' airline. And he said, don't. It's time for news.
Wow. This Human Rights Day, you have the right to walk the talk on 702.
20 minutes to 3 o'clock, we are chatting with Wendy Nola in our consumer rights feature, Nola Knows. And we have been speaking about things that you should not be doing on flights in South Africa, but actually the world over is where these rules apply. Following the incident that took place between Sem Air and MTV presenter Shamiso Mosaka. Now, Wendy, we are going to take questions. 011-883-0702 in the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. And there's a question, not a question, a statement rather, that says, Sem Air colon storm in a teacup. Surely there are more serious issues to be addressed. That's what they are saying.
Well, it's quite interesting. It's audience, it's always someone that says that if they don't particularly like the subject you're talking about. Like, you're entitled to your opinion. You know, it's never just the one incident. It's about, in fact, we're not even delving too far into that particular incident.
Yes.
What it is saying, in the public interest, it was called disruptive behavior. What is considered disruptive behavior? In this case, the airline didn't specify. I gave another case when someone just said loudly, crapairline.com. And coming up, we're going to talk about a few things you absolutely should not do, but it's about that so-called sort of level one disruptive passenger behavior. What is it? What lessons can we learn, et cetera, other than, have your video running at all times to protect yourself? Or, you know, it's always going to be, even with some witnesses, you know, video documented evidence, there's always going to be a little bit of a gray area as to what went on. But I like to think some of our audience will think that this issue of disruptive behavior on planes is worthy of discussion and interrogation.
There's another comment that says another airline to be mentioned that knows zero about customer services, Turkish Airlines. The lady at their service desk at OR Tambo is the most impolite person I've ever come across. She chased me away like a dog when I tried to ask for a vegetarian meal on a flight. And I'm wondering, Wendy, while we speak about things that people can get kicked off for, just from a consumer rights perspective, what are you entitled to ask for if it's out of the ordinary? So, for example, if you are sitting on a flight, it's paid for. I don't know if the international flights ask you prior what your dietary preferences are, but if you do,
yes,
ask,
they do.
So they do. So if, does that mean you're within your rights to change your mind if you don't feel like having whatever it is that's on offer that day?
I do think if you choose a vegetarian meal and then it comes and you don't like it, that's, you know, it's no different from saying not having a preference and the meal comes and you don't like it. You know, yes, you either eat it or you don't. Or if there's another meal version of, you know, type of meal going, if they can give it to you, they can. But it's not something you could, there are many, many things you could claim compensation for. I'm not sure that that's it,
yes,
because no airline is going to be, whatever category of meal they're serving you, it's never going to be everybody's favorite choice. You know,
yes,
it's impossible to cater for personal choice down to that minute level. But I think this woman was talking about, she was investigating, she wanted to, maybe the flight, she'd arrived to board and she hadn't pre-booked vegetarian and she was trying to then do it, and it was obviously too late because the meals would have been loaded. But there are ways of addressing such a situation if you are, you have customer service as front and center of your offering, of your delivery, you know. So it's certainly never, and so we only have one, we'd have one version of what happened. I always have to qualify what I'm saying with that, but you know, there are ways of saying things that will work for your passengers and your customers, and ways that obviously won't. So if she was late, there's a much better way of saying it than, you know, making somebody feel, you know, dismissing someone,
yes,
in a slightly aggressive way is never justified.
All right, your questions can keep coming through 011-883-0702 in the WhatsApp line 0727021702. Wendy, why do flight crews say that you shouldn't walk barefoot on a flight? Is that like a rule or just a recommendation?
No, it's not a rule. I think this mostly would apply to long haul flights. So they say, you know, we will issue with the socks, but that's for sleeping in. That's for in your seat. You don't want to walk around. This is for our benefit, not theirs. You don't want to walk around because, you know, those carpets, airline crews, they aren't deep cleaned possibly as often as they should be. And if you're going to go to the lavatories, if you feel wet in your socks, it's unlikely to be water. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
So
yes,
for your own sake, you should leave. You should keep your shoes on, not walk around in socks. And for other passengers' sake, on any flight, taking your shoes and socks off might not be that comfortable
pleasant
for the people in your yes, pleasant for the people around you. So it's not a safety issue. It's,
yes,
just like an etiquette issue, I think. Yeah.
So I made the mistake of taking my shoes off on a plane with socks on. But what I didn't take into consideration, because we were traveling in winter, was the fact that my feet were going to swell when we arrived in Germany,
yeah,
and we still had to go to Canada. The feet did not go back in the shoes.
That's common. Yes.
They did not fit. So I had to go and buy slops, because even what I had in my whatever luggage bag, there was nothing that my feet could fit into. So I know that one. And then, you know, speaking about being considerate of all the people that you sit with, I got physically ill on a flight from Dubai or Qatar to South Africa. And I was sitting in the window. There was no one in between us and then a guy in the aisle. I've never, ever needed a paper bag. But that particular flight, I got violently ill. And the paper bag shame just did not hold its weight.
Oh, no.
And the poor guy next to me, he literally was like, are you okay? I was like, no, I'm not. He was so helpful. You know, he helped me take out clothes because I just put dirty clothes over everything. I was, oh, my God. So sometimes also just be nice to the people next to you. Flying is not pleasant all the time.
You're having a moment. Yes. I've always wondered about those bags. I've come close. I've never had to use them, but I always think, I don't know if a paper bag's going to do it
you
in
need
this situation.
Two.
And you've just, okay, thank you. Thank you. We're going to leave it there for our listeners' sake.
Yes.
I'm learning things.
All right, we're going to take
a quick...
The other
thing is...
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break.
Back.
Please hold that thought.
Sure.
Vodacom. 702.
Nolan knows.
10 minutes to 3 o'clock. We're with Wendy Nolan, our consumer rights feature. Nolan knows. Give us a call, 011-883-0702 in the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702. Before we went to a break, Wendy, there was something you were about to say as we were chatting around the things that aren't illegal to do or wouldn't get you kicked out of flight, but people, those especially that fly and crew members advise you not to do.
I can't remember actually what was it I was going to say.
And I said, hold that thought. Hold that thought.
I was busy holding the thought about you and your wallet bag.
Listen, I never, ever want to go through that experience ever again, especially because that's one of the things I absolutely ate. But shame, the staff was amazing. They all took care of me and I was fine.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes. So okay. To wrap
so
up
let me
then,
talk about the things that I haven't forgotten. Yes, so we know you mentioned it right at the beginning. Pretty much everyone knows that you don't ever use the word bomb in any context out loud or even in a text, which a fellow passenger might read. I would even avoid using the word love bombing or anything like that.
Yes.
Anywhere near an airport or a plane. It could spell huge trouble. Don't make silly jokes about anything which could be construed as a security threat and don't have too much to drink before your flight because the chances of you doing the above are enhanced by quite a lot. Don't type defamatory or nasty personal comments about a fellow passenger that's sitting next to you to a friend, like WhatsApping your mates, being nasty or trying to sneak photos.
Or being racist, which we recall that happened.
Or being racist,
before.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So if they read it, racist or fascist or ageist or all those other horrible discriminatory things, if that person happens to read it, and trust me, people's eyes can do lots of athletics on in that kind of situation, if they report it, it will definitely not end well. Don't drink carbonated drinks. So at high altitudes, think about what happens to a packet of chips, right?
Yes.
We've all seen them produce them from them, and it's this fat little bloated thing. So carbonated drinks increase the building up of intestinal gas up to about 30% more, and because of the pressure drop, so you could be very, very uncomfortable on the flight and you might make things unpleasant for the people around you. Rule, it's nothing to do with the security or civil aviation regulations, but the rule is if you're sitting in the middle seat, you get to have the armrests on either side of you.
Oh,
that's
is it?
That's just an unwritten, that's the etiquette.
Okay, I wasn't aware.
Because I often sit in the middle seat, yeah, so we must just spread the word on that one. So if you're sitting in the window, you can obviously have the one that's at the window. And if you're sitting on the aisle, you're welcome to the one on the aisle, but you give the person in the poor old middle seat first choice, first right to those two armrests. And don't let your kids have free run of the cabin because it's not cute for everybody else.
I also read one that says, don't wear contact lenses on your flight, especially long-haul
yes.
ones, because your eyes get
your eyes
dry.
Dry out.
Yes. So I wasn't aware of that one, so pack your glasses. All right.
Drink lots of water.
Yes.
Lots of water.
All right, we're going to the lines, 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702. We've got Duduzile in Germiston. You've got a question, an insurance question. Without mentioning the brand, can you share with Wendy what your situation is?
Okay, Wendy, hello, and
hi, Dudu.
I have an insurance contract with this particular insurance. There was something wrong with my geyser. Then the water leaked from the ceiling and damaged my carpet. So
what?
I informed the insurance. They asked for the picture of the carpet. And they asked me to get a quote. So I went to an Oriental carpet selling company. They gave me a quote. I sent them the quote. By the time I sent them the quote, they sent me they paid 2,500 for those carpets. And I told them, these carpets are not worth that too. They're not, they were worth much more. Then I've been trying to get them to consider the quality and the cost of my carpets. They are giving me the runaround. You speak to one agent today, they take your case, then they tell you somebody will phone you. I even spoke to the manager before Christmas, and she went on holiday. When she came back, she never came back to me. I just found out that the very manager is no longer working in that department.
Mm.
But somebody will come back to me. It's 2 weeks now, Wendy.
And oh, no.
I need to speak to somebody. They need to sort this thing out.
Okay.
So I can't somebody to speak with.
Okay, so this is the problem. This is where I come in, because you get trapped in a sort of call center environment, unable to get to someone higher, and my job enables me to do that. The basic principle of insurance in your case is to put you back into the position you were before, what's called the insured event. So you definitely have a right to push for that and not to have something inferior, bearing in mind that those carpets could be fairly old, and then, you know, how you can't sort of replace, you don't want the same age carpet to be put in, because, well, that's difficult to do in the first place. But also, I would push for them to get the carpets replaced rather than give you the cash amount. I think they do that because they could get away with giving you less. So I'd certainly be willing to send an email to the insurer. Duduzile, if you sent me an email and give me your policy number and the dates and what happened, I'll do my best to take that case up. Okay.
Thank you so much, Duduzile. We'll pass you back on to our producer to just make sure that you have Wendy's correct details. And I see that so many of you were coming through. One, Joe, saying, great topic. Thank you for the good work. And another one saying, listening to you guys today has convinced me to not fly. But yes, they're fantastic airlines. It's not all a bad experience. These things are rare. And let's hope that there are some.
And. Yeah, sorry. And let's concede that a lot of passengers do behave badly and do need to be dealt with, you know, quite decisively by the plane crew as well as afterwards by the authorities. So we're not, yes, you know, it's not coming down. We've got to acknowledge that. But it's just a case of, like, let's look at what is disruptive. Is it always disruptive? And, you know, how do, yes, we deal with it?
And in the case of this one with Sim Air, me, I haven't seen a video of anyone behaving unruly. So if it's there, show it to us. Thanks, Wendy.
21 March is a reminder of our rights, where we've come from, where we are, and where we're going. As we reflect on our democracy 30 years later, let's not only celebrate our human rights, but embrace our right to freedom of assembly, association,